It's a real joy for me just to join you in your homes, and we trust the Lord is going to minister to you this morning. We certainly have a privilege of coming around God's Word and just learning from Him. And my prayer this morning is that the Lord will really minister and challenge us at times that are really challenging. So let's just pause for a moment as we pray, and then we'll get into God's Word. Father, just thank you that we can come around your word. Lord, we know that we live in difficult times. Father, we know that you call us to be your people, the people of God, kingdom-minded. And Father, we thank you. We can pray for folk around us. We can pray for the government. We can pray for world leaders and church leaders. And Lord, at this time, we just ask that we would also be challenged, Lord, to play our part in your kingdom. Lord, we know that in these unusual days, Lord, you call us to impact our world and our community. And Father, we pray that you'd speak to us now today from your word. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen. It's really great just to share. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is part of the Olivet Discourse. Jesus was on the Mount of Olives. Just a day or two before, he's going to be arrested and crucified. This was, in fact, the last public ministry that Jesus would have before his death and resurrection. Certainly, as you read this passage, there's a seriousness in Jesus' tone. Jesus has been preaching and teaching on the end times. And certainly, there's a huge interest, a great interest this last while about the end times and Jesus coming. If you've become an online junkie, you'll notice immediately that there are lots of prophecies and things going around. I've heard a few of them. Some of them are really bizarre. I heard one clip. A person was prophesying, in inverted commas, that the coronavirus would end suddenly on Easter Sunday. Well, of course, Easter Sunday has come and gone, and that hasn't happened. And the others, again, you may have heard, claiming Bill Gates is trying to vaccinate everybody and insert a chip in people's bodies. There are all sorts of funny things going around. And just by way, it's not part of the sermon, but just as a caution, I'd like to share that we need to really be careful what we listen to and take to heart. Certainly, historically, at times of crisis, the Christians have always wondered, is it the end? We know this in the 1980s, there was the oil crisis in the Middle East, and some were predicting the end. In fact, there was a flurry of books. I read a few of them as I was growing up as a teenager. There were some amazing interpretations about Revelation, the book of Revelation. People compared locusts to helicopters and all sorts of fancy prophecies and things. And we really need to be careful. During World War I and World War II, many Christians wondered if it was the end times. If you go right back to the 16th and 17th century, there were some amazing prophecies going around, as is today. And particularly because of fear, people were wondering what was happening and was Christ coming again. I remember in college we read about a man who set himself up as King David. The city he lived in was described as the New Jerusalem, and they were doing bizarre things like, well, it's the end times, we might as well have lots of wives, and all sorts of funny things were going on. So historically, we need to look back and be careful. We also need to be aware of the fact there are different doctrinal positions. Some people believe in the pre-millennial position. Others are post-millennial, and there's still others who are amillennial. And particularly in focus is the Great Tribulation, a time of suffering and chaos. And some Christians believe the rapture, where we're taken up into heaven, will be before the time of the tribulation. Some say in the middle, and some say in the end. There are various positions, and we need to be aware of that at this time. And then we need to remember that there are lots of charlatans, so-called Christians in sheep's clothing, and those who want to make money out of fear, perhaps, and maybe not aware, but for every 1,000 hits that a person has on their YouTube post, they get paid something, and the more ads that are around that presentation, the more money they get. There are charlatans and pseudo-prophets who are making a profit, preachers of health, wealth, and prosperity who are making money out of fear. And as Christians, we need to be wise, and we need to be careful what we listen to and take to heart. We certainly need to keep our feet on the ground and not be hoodwinked. But we also need to remember that we're closer than ever to Jesus coming again, and we need to be prepared for that. Now, in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, Jesus speaks about the end times, Jesus coming back to earth again, and that's chapter 24, and you can go home and read it if you like. But then in chapter 25, Jesus applies the truth of chapter 24. We want to focus on that. In chapter 25 of Matthew, we have three parables. Before Easter, we looked at the first parable, and basically from verse 1 to 13, Jesus speaks about watching for his return. We need to be ready and certain. Then the second parable, which we'll look at today, is Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14 to 30. And there Jesus he just spoke about watching, and now he's speaking about working for his return, to be diligent in how we live as Christians and how we work for the kingdom. The third parable, which maybe we'll look at some other time, is from verse 31 till the end of the chapter. And that speaks about being worthy of Christ's return, being right with God and being compassionate with other people. So in this chapter, you've got watching, working, and being worthy. And we're going to turn to God's word, Matthew 25, and start reading from verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 talents more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent, he went off and he dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought another 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid the gold or the talents in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would receive it back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 5 talents. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw that worthless service outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So far we'll read in God's word. G. Campbell Morgan was a household name a number of years ago. This man, in his ministry, he was a preacher, was used incredibly by God. But there was a time in his life where he really lacked God's anointing, and he knew that. And may I just say that you'll know as a Christian whether God's hand, his anointing is on your life or not. And this really troubled this pastor because he wasn't being fruitful in his ministry. And so in desperation one day, he went to his wife and said, please don't disturb me. I'm going into my study and I'm going to seek God's face. I need to get right with God. something needs to change in my life. And so armed with his Bible, he went into study. He began to read scripture and seek God's face. And that event in his life absolutely turned his ministry around. God answered that time of his seeking. And he began to serve with an incredible anointing. God would touch the pastor, but more so, God would use G. Campbell Morgan to touch the world, and God would work through him to bring revival around the world. Now, friends, this parable is all about God's anointing on your life. Jesus told the parable of the talents. A man embarked on a long journey. He'd be away for a long time. And we see that both in this parable and the preceding parable that Jesus reminds us he's going to be away for a long time. We know that he resurrected, he ascended into heaven, and he's been away a long time. And Jesus makes this point in this parable. And so we see that the man gives talents to his three servants, to one he gives five talents, to another two, and another one talent. Now, a talenton was a measure of money. A talent is a measure or weight of money. And perhaps a talent was worth, some say, perhaps 3,000 days of wages. The point that is made is that this talent was a significant amount. Now, it's very easy for us to confuse the talent that Jesus is speaking about in this parable with talents or gifts or even spiritual gifts. And I want to make this point, and it's important to understand this, that Jesus is not referring in this parable to our natural gifts or talents. He's not even referring to spiritual gifts. We know this is the case because if you read the passage carefully, we see that the talent was given according to ability, according to giftedness. We then see a distinction between ability or giftedness and a talent. And later we see that the man doubles the talents for those who are faithful and takes the other away. Now, I want you also to notice that the Greek word for servant is actually doulos in the Greek. It means slave, and it really refers to one who belongs to the master. One who loves the master with his heart and his soul and all his mind. And of course, that refers to us if we're truly born again, if we're a child of God, we really belong to the Lord. Now, in this parable, we meet three people. We meet five talent Francois. He knew his master trusted him, and immediately the text tells us he went out and got to work. We meet two talent Tom, a born-again man who loved the Lord and had a heart to serve, and he went out and he began to work hard. We then find one talent William. He sadly hid this valuable talent in the ground. Now, the day came when the master returned, and certainly this day was a day of reckoning. We know, of course, that it refers to the day of judgment, where one day each of us will be have to give account for what we've done with what the Lord has given us. Five talent Francois received a glorious commendation. Good and faithful, upright servant. Wouldn't we all like to hear that commendation? This man was rewarded, and as his reward, he was entrusted with more. This man would have an abundance. Isn't that glorious to hear? He would share, and the greatest joy of all was to share in the joy and delight and the blessedness of his master. Likewise, to talent Tom, he'd receive the same reward. But one talent, William, had nothing to show, and he'd literally squandered his anointing, and he received nothing but condemnation. Now, God had given this man a calling in the kingdom, and certainly God calls us, each of us, if you're a Christian, a born-again Christian, who's committed his life to the Lord. We know that God has called us to serve in his kingdom, and whether it's to be a godly witness at work, or perhaps to comfort somebody who's stricken with sorrow. Perhaps it's to serve the Lord in Sunday school and to share our faith with children. Maybe it's to be a deacon, an elder, or some sort of leader in God's kingdom. Maybe it's simply to pick up the phone during this lockdown and to encourage somebody, or maybe even to overcome our fear and to try a new technology. I know from personal experience it's been a challenge to shift gear and to learn new things. And perhaps the older we are, the more scared we are to try things. And maybe God at this time is calling you to overcome those fears, and maybe to use Zoom and lead a cell group or do something. But it's so easy, isn't it, to squander our God-given opportunities that we have right now. And maybe God is calling you to overcome fears and to get involved and reach out into the community. Tragically, we see in this passage that one talent, William, he squandered his anointing. He squandered his calling, his opportunities, the responsibilities, may I say that. God had given him responsibilities, and his scholar, he didn't take up those responsibilities. He squandered the God-given responsibilities that he had. Now, how are we to understand this parable today? We've already seen that a talent refers to a measure of value. May I say again, it's not referring to your gifts, your talents, even your spiritual gifts. Now, God certainly gives us gifts. He gives us talents, and that's called common grace. But this is not what Jesus is speaking about in this passage. In verse 15, we see that the master gave the talents, each according to their ability. Five talents. Francois, who was far more gifted, was given more responsibility. In other words, the master expected more from five talent Francois because he had greater gifts and responsibilities. Now, certainly the more that God has given you, the greater gifts and abilities, the more God expects from you. And we call that anointing. Now, I have an equation. I know some of you like maths and others don't, but I've got an equation, and I want to give it to you. The ability, the giftedness, the skill, plus the responsibility and the opportunity. In other words, we call that calling. That equals anointing. Let me say it again. It's your gifts, your abilities, your spiritual gifts, plus the opportunities and responsibilities that God gives you. And that's really our calling from God. That's what I'm talking about when I speak about anointing. Now, certainly, God anoints each of us, if we're Christians, to work for his return. We need to labor in God's field to ready people for his return. The question is this morning is what are you doing with the anointing that is on your life, the calling that God has given you and placed on your life? It's a really, really important question that we need to answer. What are you doing with the giftedness that God has given you? I've entitled this sermon, Working for Christ's Return, and that's the question we need to ask. Are we working? Are we being diligent to work for Jesus' return? Whether it's caring for others, whether it's maybe teaching our own children, or maybe at Sunday school, or loving people who need to be loved, or leading others in ministry. Are you working in the power of Christ's and the Spirit's anointing? That's really an important question we need to answer this morning. I want to take a look at three things that relate to this anointing. Firstly, we're going to look at the origin of the anointing. Where does the anointing come from? Then the operation of this anointing. In other words, how does it work? And finally, the obstruction of this anointing. You know, it's so possible to quench the anointing that God has given you. Firstly, the origin of the anointing. In other words, where does it come from? Where does this anointing come from? Well, we've seen this passage that first it's on loan from the master. In verse 14, we see the master entrusted his wealth to his servants. I want to say that the anointing does not belong to you. It's God's. God has entrusted you with an anointing. Christian leader, worship leader, Sunday school teacher, witness, mom and dad. God has entrusted you with gifts, with opportunities, with positions. He's entrusted you with a holy calling. He's entrusted you, parents, if you have children. He's entrusted those children to your care and to your leadership. If you're maybe a leader in a cell group or you minister in a cell group, he's given others positions of worship, gifts in music, anointings in teachings, in leadership, in speaking, in caring for other people. These are all anointings that come from our master. But certainly we need to realize that all these anointings are on loan from the master Jesus. We also see in this passage that in this parable that there are limits on the anointing. We see this in verse 15 and 20 to 23. We see there was a five-talent Francois, there was a two-talent Tom, and a one-talent William. Now, you might be, maybe you identify with one-talent William, and you're saying for yourself, you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you're saying, well, I've only got one talent, you know, it's not much. And I wanted to point out this morning that the reward is the same. If you look at the passage, whether you're a one-talent, a two-talent, or a five-talent person, if you're faithful, the reward is exactly the same. Listen to verse 20 to 23. The man who received five talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I've gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, we see in this passage that both five-talent Francois and two-talent Tom, they got exactly the same commendation, good and faithful servant. The question isn't how many talents do I have, but how faithful am I? Not how much gifting or spiritual gifts you've got, but have I used those gifts, those talents, those spiritual gifts in a really faithful way? What will be your commendation when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again back to earth? What will your commendation be? We then see that not only is the talent on loan or the anointing, not only are there limits in the anointing, but then we also see that there are levels of anointing. We see this in verse 16 and 17. Implicit here, we see that the Lord can increase the anointing. He can increase the way he works through your life and my life. Five talent Francois received five talents more. Two talent Tom received two more. Now Isaiah 61 and verse 7 speaks about a double portion. And of course when we speak about a double portion, we've learned this in our hermeneutics class, that it speaks about the inheritance of the firstborn. It speaks about a full measure, not double as some may think it says, but it speaks about receiving the full measure from our Lord. Isaiah 61 and verse 7. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will receive, rejoice at least in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Certainly it's a joy to know that God's hand is on our lives and that we can measure, minister in the full measure of the Spirit in our lives. We read about Elisha, 2 Kings 2. We read about Elisha's request for a double a portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, again, of course, it's not speaking about a double measure, but a full measure. Elisha's desire was that he'd be able to minister in the same way that Elijah had. He wanted to be as effective as his predecessor. My desire for you is that indeed you'd seek God's full measure of blessing and anointing on your life. Is that your desire, that you experience God's smile on your service? That clearly God's hand is on your life and on the way you minister in our community and beyond. Not only that, we see too that there can be a loss of anointing. Tragically, we read in verse 18, but the man who had received one talent went off and he dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Isn't this tragic that this one talent, William, he did nothing with the anointing God had given him. And in fact, we see in this passage that he lost everything that he'd received in the first place. It's amazing what we remember. I remember growing up. And as a teenager, perhaps just 13 or 14, and our Sunday school teacher, I remember, was speaking about serving the Lord. And then she told us about her husband, who had been a musician, a guitar player. And this man had eventually not stopped coming to church. He stopped serving. And a comment I remember was, you know, he's even lost his ability to play guitar. Isn't that so sad when we hear about people who were once effective? And something's happened in their life and they almost lose that anointing on their lives. Listen to Paul's words as he encourages Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Certainly, our Lord wants us to be confident. He wants us to be comfortable in our anointing that comes from Him. And Paul exhorted Timothy. Timothy, don't be shy. Timothy, don't be timid. Timothy, don't be concerned that you're young and you might feel that people look down on your youth. Friends, we need to ask the Lord for a great anointing on our lives, that we might serve Him with absolute confidence. Now, we've looked at the origin of the anointing and we see it's from God. But the second thing we see in this passage, in this parable, is the not just the origin of the anointing, but secondly, we see the operation of the anointing. We see that those who serve, they served with a sense of urgency, verse 16 and 19. In verse 16, it tells us that five talents, Tom, he five talents, Francois at least, he went out at once. The NASB is an interesting translation, and it says immediately the one who had received five talents went out and he traded with them. Now, the attitude of his heart was there was no time to waste. There was an urgency in his mind and his heart. You see, verse 19 reminds us that after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Friends, Jesus is coming back. There's no doubt about that. But the question this morning or today is, do you have a sense of urgency? Jesus is coming and time is running out. The word reminds us that the Lord wants people to respond to Him, and time is running out. They served with a sense of urgency, but then we also see they served with a desire to be fruitful, with that desire for fruitfulness. In verse 16, it tells us that five talent Francois, he gained five more. Do you seek the Lord's face that you might be more effective in your ministry? Do you pray that more people will be saved? I think of that amazing story of praying Hyde, a pastor. He was ineffective in leading people to Christ, and he sought the face of God. And after time, he prayed that God would give him one person per day to lead to Him, and God did that. And as he prayed for more and more, God would use him daily to lead more and more people to Christ. Sound school teachers and cell group leaders, do you desire that your ministry would grow? And do you pray that the people under your care, children or adults, will come and know the Lord in a real and personal relationship? Do you desire to see people change and converted? Christian, do you share your testimony because you really believe that God will use those words to impact people's lives? Five, Talent Francois, he certainly knew that his master trusted him. God had given him an anointing and he desired not to waste it. And immediately he went out and he got to work. Not only did they serve with urgency and a desire for fruitfulness, but we see too that they served while being mindful of the truth. The issue of knowledge is really important, and God holds us accountable when it comes to what we know. The lazy servant said in verse 24, the second part, Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not sown seed. How does God measure our talents? We're judged by two things, what we know and how we use what we know. Paul wrote to Philemon in verse 6 of the short letter, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you may have full understanding of everything we have in Christ. Isn't that understanding of who Jesus is so, so important? Likewise, Peter remarks in 2 Peter 1 and verse 6 and 8, add to, what's the word? It's knowledge. Add to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And then in verse 8, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm certain that you desire to be productive in your life and your ministry, and we need to use what you know effectively. And so they served with being mindful of the truth, of realizing that knowledge is so important. And then lastly, we see here under this point that they served with a love for the master, verse 23. And the Amplified is a interesting translation. I want to share it with you. Enter and into and share the joy, the delight, the blessedness which your master enjoyed. I believe that the faithful servants that we read about in this passage really treasured their master. They loved their master. And certainly they longed to be in the master's presence. John Piper reminds us that God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. The psalmist in Psalm 37 verse 4, he begins that well-known verse by saying, delight yourself in the Lord. Are we delighting ourselves in the Lord? Because friends, that will impact our service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've seen the operation of the anointing, the urgency, the fruitfulness, the need for truth and for love. Then finally, we come to number three, the obstruction of the anointing. I'm reminded of the words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Paul was saying, the Apostle Paul was saying, don't put out the Spirit's fire in your life. You know, you can quench the anointing that comes from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, we see a terrible pronouncement. You wicked, lazy servant. Now, how many of us would like to hear those words? I'm sure not one person who's listening in today would like to hear those words. You wicked, lazy servant. What had happened to one talent, William? Well, we see that he had willfully and deliberately refused to do any work in the kingdom of God. He refused to assume responsibility for the calling that God had placed on his life. And may I say that God has placed a calling on every Christian's life. You don't have to be the pastor or an elder or a deacon. I want to say this more today that God, if you're a Christian, has called you. He's placed a calling on your life. What was the reason for what he did? Was it perhaps pride? Did he perhaps despise the anointing that the master had placed on his life? Did he perhaps look around at others and desire a greater anointing? Maybe a greater calling, or maybe he wanted to have a bigger position in the run of things. Maybe he wanted to be seen by other people. Well, I've certainly known those who have desired to preach, to be up front, and God had simply not anointed or called some of these folk to minister in that way, and yet they desired it, and they were annoyed when asked to do certain other things. Even in Scripture, we see people like this. In 3 John 9, John's letter, we read of Diotrephes, who loved to be first. This man wanted to be up front and be in control and be seen by others. What had caused one talent William to respond in the way he did? Was one talent William perhaps called to be a witness at work and he just simply didn't do it? Was he called perhaps to comfort somebody who was stricken in sorrow and he simply refused? Was he given a responsibility to serve Christ by teaching his own children the Word of God, and yet he allowed his anointing to simply lie fallow and useless? Did perhaps Jesus call him to suffer affliction with patience and courage and contentment? But he was simply rebellious and grumpy and dissatisfied. In my ministry, I've certainly seen some who've suffered. They've been sick for years and have really been filled. Their bodies have been filled with pain. But you know, their testimony just rang out. It was a joy to spend time with these people because God's joy just shone through their lives. Was this man, one talent William, called to serve in the Lord in the ministry in full-time service, but as he assessed the full-time ministry, he chose rather the riches of this world? And perhaps there's some listening this morning. God has spoken to you about serving him full-time, and yet you've said, Lord, no, I first want to make money. I want to first buy a house, and I want to first do this and that, and I'll serve you later. The tragedy of this parable is in verse 28. Take the one talent from him. Isn't that sad that God has called people and yet they've turned God down, and later when you look at their lives, they've simply lost the calling that God had initially given them. I came across an amazing quote in my preparation. God fits the man to his place and he gives a place to a man. I really believe that you who are listening, God has given you a place. God has given you a situation, a responsibility for you to minister, be it in your own family or be it in the church that you attend, wherever it might be. God has given you a place. Luke reminds us in a similar parable, Luke 12:48. It's not exactly the circumstances are slightly different, but it's certainly similar to this parable. For everyone to whom much is given, much will be demanded. In other words, if God has gifted you and placed an anointing on your life, a great anointing, the Lord expects you to fulfill that calling and anointing. Isn't it so true? The right man for the right task at the right time. Aren't you the person that God has spoken to? He's given you the place. He's given you the calling. And today is the right time. It's so easy to say, well, tomorrow I'll do something and I'll minister there or encourage that person or phone somebody and we simply put it off. But God is speaking you to respond today. Certainly it's true that you cannot put small feet in big shoes, but friends, when the shoe fits, it's absolutely glorious. I think of G. Campbell Morgan, the man I spoke about earlier on. God used in an amazing way. This man had no formal Bible teaching, and yet God used him in absolute abundance around the world to bring a glorious revival. In closing, I want to share a story. Dr. R.A. Torrey, a well-known preacher, he was preaching about total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a seven-year-old boy by the name of William Borden, he grew up in an incredibly wealthy home. He had access to a lot of money. He stood up and smiled, and he committed his life to the Lord to serve him. And 9 years later, he graduated from school, and he went to university at a gap year. He traveled. He met missionaries on a ship to China, and he wanted to join the China Inland Mission. And he wrote his mother the following: "I knelt down and prayed more earnestly than I've for some time for the mission work and for God's plan for my life. Pray that I might be guided in everything, small and great." Well, this young man, he went and he studied at Yale Bible College, and he founded the Yale Hope Mission. Sometime later, one man was asked, "What impressed you about America?" The answer came, "The sight of that young millionaire." This man was from a very wealthy family. "The sight of that young millionaire kneeling with his arm around a bum in Yale Hope Mission." Well, eventually, this young man, he went off to Egypt to prepare for ministry amongst Muslims in China, but he never reached China. He died before that. At the age of 7, William Borden had consecrated, he'd set himself apart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was studying at Yale, he wrote this in his journal: "Lord Jesus, I take my hands off. As far as my life is concerned, change, cleanse, use me as you will. I take the full power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you." And then to this amazing note that he made, he added the following: "May never know a tithe of the results until morning." In other words, friends, he realized that one day Jesus would come again, and he'd never know the impact of his life. And I challenge you this morning, maybe you can echo those words as we close, we come to the end of the sermon. "Lord Jesus, I take my hands off. As far as my life is concerned, change, cleanse, use me as you will. I take the full power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you." Won't you perhaps echo those words this morning as we reflect on the anointing, the gifts, the ministry that God has given every one of us? The Lord has certainly called you to serve him in your part of the kingdom. And my challenge as we close is that you'd really surrender yourself today and ask the Lord to use you in the most powerful way possible. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you that you call each of us, you give each of us anointing to serve in some other way. And Lord, as we bow before you, we want to just reflect on our own personal lives. We want to offer ourselves afresh to you this morning. And friends, while our hearts are bowed, perhaps you are hearing the Spirit speak to you. May the Lord is speaking to you about ministry or doing things. Maybe it's even just to take responsibility for your own children at home. Perhaps it's to serve the Lord in your local church, in Sunday school or worship or wherever it might be. God is speaking this morning. And won't you just think about these things for a moment and say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to offer myself afresh. I want to echo those words. Lord Jesus, I take my hands off. As far as my life is concerned, change, cleanse, use me as you will. I take the full power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you." Won't you pray that, and as we just reflect on those words, and let's just spend a moment in quiet, and won't you make a decision for Jesus to serve him with everything you have, and to rely on his anointing, to his equipping, to enable you to serve effectively. Father, we thank you for your calling on each of our lives, and during this time of lockdown and of the pandemic around the world, we just know there's so many opportunities for you to use us. Father, we pray that you'd help us to overcome our fears. Father, we help us that you'd give us the desire to overcome maybe our fear of technology and, Lord, the unwillingness to change and to adapt. Father, we know that this is a time of adaptation. Lord, as things have changed so much in our lives, we know you're calling your church to shift gear and, Father, to be effective in new and exciting ways. Won't you help us and to make the decision to do things that perhaps we haven't done before? Oh Lord, we thank you that you've spoken to us clearly. And oh God, I pray that each of us would be faithful in our response. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Now, I want to say to you that if you've prayed and responded to the Lord this morning, we'd love to hear from you. Why don't you just drop me a WhatsApp or an SMS and say, Pastor, I've responded in this way. Or maybe you want to share what God has said to you. I'd love to hear from you. Or maybe you need somebody to pray with you. Why don't you contact us? On the screen will be our contact detail. We've set up a special email address, coffeechat101@gmail.com. You can send us, drop us an email, or if you want to, you'd like to phone, you're welcome to do that, or you are welcome to send a message on SMS or WhatsApp. But please let us know what the Lord is doing in your life, and if you need somebody to pray with you or to counsel you, we're available, and please feel free to contact us. And then for our folk at Watercliffe Baptist Church, just to remind you that we'll be praying for our missionaries on Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, we'll be sending out that Zoom contact detail. And if you'd like to join us, if you're not part of Watercliffe Baptist Church, you're very welcome to join us. And you can again email us on coffeechat101@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and you can be part of our virtual church. But it's really been a joy for me to share with you today. And we just pray that the Lord will use your testimony, your gifts, to minister in these unusual days. Now is the time to serve the Lord. And certainly God is expanding his church. He's using his church in new ways. And won't you be part of that? The Lord bless you. It's been an absolute privilege for me to share with you. Amen.